Better on Draft podcast is part of the PodcastDetroit.com network and is recorded live in the Detroit Sound Studios.
Now, pop that 40 and kick back. Here is Dan, Nick, Ken, and Rob.
We are live, episode number 93 of the Better on Draft podcast. Hopefully you're still listening with the old intro that showed up. But yeah.
Whoever was listening to that just turned it off. They're like, an old episode.
Old episode.
Wait,
yes.
What happened to Matt?
We don't do reruns here.
There is no Matt.
Only original content.
Is this before Rob? I didn't catch.
This still had Rob. Remember, Rob was in the Royal Oak studio.
That's right. Yeah.
I mean, the Ferndale studio, so... I think this intro might have been like the cut one we did when we moved from the Ferndale one to here because I didn't want to re-record the above activate gaming.
You didn't want to pay the $5 extra.
No, you didn't want to go back to $5.
I've spent mind you, the guy did a great over like the voiceover job, but I've spent like $20 on like revisions just to add Matt. Rob. I know. I'm going to have to go back for Angelo when she shows up for like 3 weeks straight. That's the rule we're going
to
go with.
That's our call to GoFundMe people to start a GoFundMe.
So if that's 3 weeks straight, then that means if Nick doesn't show up for 3 weeks straight,
we remove it. He has to like re-earn it.
Right.
So it'd be like Nick or Angela.
Nick or Angela.
I was going to say, we're all laughing and Dan's here.
Yeah. I'm here more than Nick is. What are you talking about?
I know. It's summer soccer season.
Yeah, we're doing and or.
And or. Yeah.
Dan and or Nick and or Angela. Well, we don't have any guests today. As you can tell, we are recording on a Sunday morning. That's right, Sunday morning. I think I'm the only one with a beer right now as people are still recovering. We do have... Some great content to talk about. We did go to the this is Maduro from Cigar City.
Oh, okay.
Of course.
I still have plenty of it left, which is good, but I'm only like I limit myself to one every time I go to a show or do something because I want to have like more of it later. So we did go to the Summer Beer Fest yesterday. Whew. That was rough. Matt wasn't there, but me, Rob, and Dan went. And we definitely had a good time, but that sun was a killer.
Oh, my goodness. It was hot.
I don't know. Like, I remember the old stamina I used to have where I could be able to drink all day, like, you know, go to dinner with my parents and then drink all night as well without anything. And now, like, 2 hours of drinking at a festival and I'm spent.
Hold on. You weren't doing that all day in the sun like that.
No. I wasn't doing it all day in the sun. But even, like, we did do the entire festival for the Winterfest.
Right.
We were there for an hour before when all the enthusiasts came in, and we stayed till everyone left. We were one of the last people that left, actually, because we were busy with the blow your limit or
blow
before you go.
Yeah,
there
we didn't
you go.
Do that like, this there is time.
We were just exhausted at about 3 o'clock. So we had gotten in there at about 11:30. Thanks to some help, we were able to go talk to our sponsors, Brown Iron Brew House and North Center Brewing. We do appreciate you helping us out, making this dream come true, as well as we got to talk to all the friends of the show. People were recognizing us from our videos that we do for our Facebook Live.
Right.
Somebody recognized me from yelling at them on Facebook about being anti-Miller.
Never even had them on the show. They were brewer themselves and just...
Yeah, that was either Ozones or Osgoods.
It was Ozones.
Okay. Yeah. I knew it started with an O.
Yeah.
So, they recognized us. It was definitely a lot of fun, though. We poured for... Latitude 42. We blew two kegs.
We poured foam at least for the first 5 minutes.
Yeah, there was a lot. We got to like the end of the kegs, so like everything was just foam. Like you had to like full pour, and of course you're still pouring so much foam. There's no control pour or anything like that where you're going like slow and to the side. You had to like go full blast, wait, dip it in, full blast.
That seems to be a constant issue at all the beer fests. Like. Last the Winter Beer Fest, the pipes or the lines were freezing. Now
you're
getting too much foam. Like, there's got to be some sort of way because I remember Fall Beer Fest from Eastern Market that there was catching foams at the beginning of the keg. So it's almost like you have a continual issue of just lines not working appropriately.
Well, again, when you're using these line systems that are like remote line systems, it's not like it's as much as it's professional. It's still rigged a little just to make it work for a beer festival. Nonetheless, it was still a good time. We still had other lines that were pouring well. I think the big issue was that we were near the end of the kegs for all. Like I had one guy blow two kegs back to back.
Yeah,
the Bobby Kolsch blew it, Poppin' Pills blew it, mm-hmm. And then I'm like, well, what else do you want? I just kept trying to move everyone to the Lucifer's Cuvée because
yeah.
That was pouring.
Oh yeah, that was pouring easy.
Well, like, speaking of that, it's a higher ABV beer and
the Cuvée.
Yeah,
yes,
very. Yeah,
now barrel aged. Seems like. Especially with these beer fests, they're doing rare releases, they're doing higher ABVs, they're doing barrel age. Do you think that in part your fatigue earlier comes because you're having a higher average ABV beer?
I felt like that because we were drinking it from. There were many barrel aged beers at
you,
a summer.
You
fest.
Guys were. I wasn't.
Yeah. The first.
I did what you told me not to do.
Yeah, exactly. The first beer that Dan and I had was Griffin Claw Flying Buffalo Hazelnut.
Yep.
And so,
yeah, you guys went big fat. I'm like, I don't. I think I had like the grapefruit wit there or something like
yeah.
that. It was something nice and easy to drink. There was a lot of, and I didn't realize it, and I don't think any of us did, just because like even distribution, it's still getting pretty big. The amount of New England IPAs there was ridiculous.
Everyone had one or more.
Yeah.
One or more.
The amount itself was just like, as I'm looking through. I'm trying to see if there was a bunch of, like, it's hard for them to be labeled New England IPA, but I mean, just the simple any IPA, there was six of them, but we know there was way more than.
Well, I just remember everywhere we went headed a New England IPA, just recognizing on the board.
Yeah, like,
everywhere we went.
Or a hazy or IPA or yeah. a juicy IPA, one yeah. of those many, many different things. What, like, did you guys have a winner? When you were out there, like something that
IPA?
No. That something that stuck out that you really, really enjoyed. Wasn't there the gold medal beer from Third Monk? I think it was.
That was that
the Saison.
Yeah, that was really good. That stuck out. And I hate that I can't remember his name. The guy in the tie dye shirt was on the show previously.
Parker's Hilltop.
Yeah. That red. He, the only smart individuals there that brought all low ABV sessionable beers to a summer.
You know what's
festival.
Funny is I was looking for names, and of course, Third Monk and Parker's are two of the only breweries that didn't have the names of their beers for the printout. So
that's funny. The red that he had was 4% really stuck out for me. It's something you could walk around in the sun and drink, not.
And that's the thing is that I paid attention to the AB. Like, I the sun is what kicked my ass.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't get drunk. I got tired.
Yeah, same here.
And, I mean, for me, like, one of those things, like, a five-hour energy can really, like, just knock me straight for a good 5, 6, 7 hours without any crash or anything like that. And after, like, 2.5 hours walking around, I was spent.
Done. Yeah.
Those always make me feel like I'm living in a plastic bag.
Well, I drink half of it. Yeah. I do half a bottle, I thought it works good.
Yeah, it's
the
like,
one's a little too much for me.
You just put a plastic, like, CVS bag over your face, and I kind of feel like I'm in a bubble when I drink those things.
So for me, the big one that stood out, and it was just a random, we were walking by because we were talking about the peanut butter and jelly, the peanut butter and jelly porter from Elk, and I had remembered what one of the Downey brothers said, that he was drinking all the cucumber beers,
right?
And I had the watermelon cucumber Goza from Elk, and it was by far one of the best beers there. Now, obviously, it's hard to really say, you know, this is the best beer because there's 1,100, 1,200 beers. Yeah. You can't really break it down.
Right.
Unless you go in with a major plan, like a World Expo of Beer style plan, where you're like, I'm going to try, you know, you need a group of people to try a specific number of beers.
Now, is that the best beer, you think, because of the style versus the temperature? Because, or is that just the beer that had the most flavor or that you remember the most?
Yes, to both. I think it was the watermelon cucumber Goza. I don't think is something that I'd want to drink during like the winter. I think the temperature, the outside, the festival itself really gave to that style as well as to the flavor profile and the low ABV. But it was just that specific, like everything together for the Michigan Summer Beer Festival, that was the one that stuck out the most. And I had dark beers, I had wits, I had hefes. I was drinking a lot more sessionable beers, unlike the other two people that I was with, drinking these barrel-aged. I'm like, no. You know what tasted really good, though? And it was a surprise because I didn't even Rob actually got it for me. I had a Ghetto Blaster.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Man. While we were pouring, you went and got
it. Yeah. Yep. I was just like, man, I always forget how good that beer is and how much I always I need to have it more in my
refrigerator. You like English ales. That's English Dark Miles, awesome.
I like English ales, but it goes to the point, and I'm guilty of it too, is how disloyal we are within the beer community. As much as we talk and we're very loyal to our friends of our podcast, the people that come on. We're very loyal to Michigan breweries as well as, breweries that support us. But when it comes to, I still fall under the same hurdle of wanting to try new beer before trying a standard, a same. I do have my beers in my refrigerator that I still have my old styles. I still have a few things that I like that I always make sure to have. But I don't keep much at home anymore. But like when I go out, I'm still drinking any new things.
Did you just say you have old style?
I do have old style in my fridge, yes. Oh.
Nothing wrong with old style. I'd rather drink PBR, though.
Well, what was funny was that I was walking around trying to figure out, I was like, all right, what am I going to grab, Ken? And one of the guys from Motor City Brewing Works recognized me. He was just kind of walking around, and, we talked for a second. It's like, yeah, I'm looking for something for Ken. He's like, yeah, I know that's kind of tough with all these IPAs that are all around here. It's like, but we still got some Ghetto Blaster over. And it's like, all right. Then I'm going to go get some Ghetto Blasters.
That was fine.
And then Rob brings me malt liquor. I was like, yeah, this is actually
is that
good.
That DK
yes, amount? I brought him.
Oh, so you did get a chance to do the DK. Yeah. I didn't know if he got you German Hoblo.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
How'd you like the DKML?
It was good. I couldn't drink it all. That was after we were done pouring when I was drinking. I'm like, I'm not drinking this whole thing. That's no.
It's
it was
strong.
Really good, though.
I actually ended up having one when I got home, too.
Did you?
The DKML.
Yes, I did.
Rob goes home and drinks more.
It was so.
Wait, I went back in.
Oh, did
yeah,
you?
He went back in to take some more photos.
I got a couple more photos of just kind of walking around and, just chatting and, talking to, some of the guys we had already talked to. And that was pretty much about it.
I'm really glad that we were able to get in when we did, because we were able to talk to all the people that, making our rounds, because we've had so many people that have come on and supported our show, as well as all the things people do to support our show. So it was great to be able to talk to them, show our appreciation, try some of the beers. Obviously, we won't say what, but a big shout out to Kyle Vandeventer for what he did for us.
Oh,
for
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, definitely did that.
Shout out to Kyle over at Griffin Claw.
Now, do you think we've been talking about how barrel-aged beers are kind of heavy in the summer? And I'm going to guess most of the barrels, each beers that you had were whiskey barrels.
Yeah.
Now, do you think
there was one gin?
I did have a gin barrel aged beer. That gin barrel aged beer was only like 6% too.
Yeah.
So my question would be, do you think that like tequila barrel and gin barrels and maybe even rum barrel aged beers would be better for a summer beer fest or would be more palatable because of the lighter nature of the spirits?
I think rum. I mean, because
I guess rum's kind of either or.
Oddside had a couple of their. I mean, they didn't have them there, but in years past during the summer, I mean, they've had stuff like Scallywagger, where it was a rum barrel aged ale of some sort. So
just for people keeping track at home, that was the gin barrel juniper pills from Drafting Table is what we had.
Drafting Table was where kind of my best in show came from, because obviously I know with it being summer and, stouts are a bit heavy, but still, for me, by far, the rye whiskey, Mean Vanilla Bean.
The 15%.
That was by far my favorite.
That was the second beer you had, right?
That was close. That wasn't the second. It was close.
Is that where you fell off the rails?
It was close. It was probably the second, and it was actually the last one I had, because I got there, or when I went back in, I stopped off at Ascension first, and pretty much everything 800-pound gorilla was all gone. So I tried the Bourbon Barrel Age, You Took Too Much, which that one was 16.4.
Oh, my God.
And so had that one. That one was all right. Went back to Drafting Table. I just wanted to ask them if they were going to have that, tapped at the brewery. So go there and just grab a growler.
If you look at like Witch's Hat and all the beers that they brought, it was basically IPAs, Gozas, and everything barrel aged. I'm looking at all of them. Like they have the El Chapo Goes Away, which is a tequila barrel aged Goza. All the Fury series, they had their Well Water, which is bourbon barrel aged barley wine. They had a wine barrel aged Saison.
They had a serious line. That's what they had.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was a lot of people, I think.
Founders, too. Oh, my
founders,
God.
Because they, that, and then I found out what it was. It was at 3 o'clock, they were tapping KBS.
Oh, my God.
So that's what
that
the
was
line,
the line for KBS?
That was the line for
Why
KBS.
Why wait in line? I can just go into the store right now and they, buy.
Not everyone lives in Arizona,
exactly.
Man.
I mean, basically, and they had, like, their two windows where everybody was in line for KBS, and it just kind of made this makeshift sign that said, non-barrel-aged beers line up here.
Saw
and
that.
Everybody was over there. That was actually, when that line was there, I just said, you know what, the hell with it. And I just went up to... I just got up there and just said, all right, you know what? I want this.
They had good beer. They had Backwoods with them.
I think we need to hit up Kevin and maybe for a festival do like a hourly pour, like when the KBS release or something like that happens, just to watch the people.
Oh, that'd be fun, actually. We should do that. That would be a great time. Just to watch all the plugs.
I don't understand why people do it. There was 1,100 beers there. Why do you need to wait in line for one?
For a 3 ounce KBS.
Yeah, for a 3 ounce KBS.
3 ounce KBS. You're standing in a 100 person line.
Yeah, but isn't that
really
kind of
no
like,
shade either? It was pretty hot.
Oh, there was no shade.
Yeah. No,
they were lined up past the shade little tent that they had.
Yeah,
too.
He didn't even really have shade where they were.
No.
He was on the end of that
the
tent.
End cap. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What was that, Matt?
I said, isn't I guess really the premise to. Of these, I guess, beer noobs or whatever you want to call them, people who don't listen to this podcast, people who don't truck chase to go out and find these beers that they've heard about or, if it's your first, your first festival, and we kind of did a post about, the 10 people you'll see at your beer fest. You know, if this is the first time you're there, that's a beer you've heard about, that you've heard raved about, that's the one that you want to gravitate and try. You know, isn't that kind of the premise that you always start a craft beer journey when you are new to craft beer with the beers that you've tried, and then you figure out what you like, and then you
But do you think KBS is a beer to really go out and try if you're new into the craft beer scene?
Yeah, I don't know.
That's
a barrel aged.
Well, not necessarily if it's one to just go and try, but just the fact that there are so many beers there that. There are other barrel-aged stouts that you can get quick.
So I literally just searched the word barrel on the beer list, and there was 67, minimum 67. So it might not bring you anything that says BA something, like BA 800-pound.
Yeah.
Just anything that says barrel. Sorry, Matt. There's 67 barrel-aged beers.
I didn't know
beers.
You could search like that.
I literally hit Control F and typed
probably
in the
control
word
F
barrel.
Search.
I don't know if you know
oh,
how
you're
to
on
internets.
You're using a computer. I have a phone in front of me. That's it.
You can hit the triple dots on the top right, find in page, type in barrel.
I don't need a lesson.
Today's phone lesson. Like
today's phone lesson brought to you by Zatuna Liquor over at Rochester Hills. Just up at F59. I'm sorry, Matt. I keep cutting you off, and I'm not meaning to.
No, that's fine. Say hi to Jack. And if you need any M43, he's always got it. But my thought is there any beer that's on that menu, if you will, any of those 1,100 beers that are as advertised and publicized and fawned over in theory that, your Joe no craft beer, your Joe six pack would have heard about? Like, because if you go on someone's Facebook page or you're just in your newsfeed and you always see KBS, you see like Hopslam, you see Oberon, and maybe that's people's entry into craft beer is I hear everybody talking about this. I've never had it. It looks like everybody wants it. So maybe this is where I should try it.
Well, while I understand that premise, Bell's right across the way, I think, had bourbon barrel aged Expedition, which is harder to get and just as good in regards to a rating of beer within the beer community that you're like, I walked by and it wasn't like a timed event. It was just there. I'm like, how is this just here? So, and if you look, because I mean you're in the groups too. You see, like when because they don't announce when they're going to release Expedition. It's just in the store, and then people post, and then everyone takes a lunch or a half day and drives out to Kalamazoo to get it. And by the time like 4 o'clock hits, the line's an hour and a half long, and people are getting their beers. So I understand what you're saying, but in the same sense, there's still so much out there that I don't know if I could just wait in line and waste my time, a half hour to get a 3 ounce pour.
I think we should do something like how Jimmy Kimmel does celebrities read mean tweets.
Like brewers read untapped reviews.
Brewers read mean tweets, and it's like the guys from Founders read tweets about, you know, KBS or everything like that.
That would actually be fun.
Yeah.
To see like Kevin coming out here, you would just have a blast with it too. He'd be like, nope, I don't believe you. That's the one thing that I like. As much as I do love talking to brewers, talking to owners, like when we talk about the people we you know and stuff, it's the sales reps, the people that get out there, the people that are paid to talk. Mm-hmm. Those are the ones that we always reference. Those are the ones we're always more akin to because I think they match our type A personality. Whereas, you know, I had John Mayer on here from Rogue Ales, and it was a rough interview in the sense to where it was hard to really get him to talk a little bit more and open up. And finally, like, once I was able to hit that sweet spot with him, that, like, one topic, which happened to be biking, that's when I got him to open up. Because he's an older gentleman. He still bikes to and from work every day, like 10, 12 miles. And I'm like, I'm just going to drive. Yeah. Like, I understand the people that do it, but I just could never do it back when I was, you know, working closer to, and, you know, like, Monday, tomorrow I go to Kalamazoo. I'm not going to bike there.
Why not?
I don't know what time I probably have to leave now to get there in time.
Pretty much.
All right, well, that's the end of segment one.
So we did release a list in regards to the five different types of people you see at every festival. And at least with Dan and Rob and myself, we can kind of see if we know these people that we might have saw. Now, we didn't really talk too much to the crowd of people there at the festival. We more talked to the brewers, the sales reps, the pourers. But we have five people. First one is the rookie. And that's obviously the first person that goes to a beer fest, goes big, fast, and hard, and is done in an hour.
Well, I don't know. That was me yesterday. I wasn't done in an hour, but that was kind of me.
That felt like me at the Winterfest when I was even paying attention to ABVs. I was still hitting it way too hard, way too
Again,
fast.
Again, it's because you were in a T-shirt. You wore a T-shirt to Winter Beer Fest.
I did, and then I got a hoodie.
But you failed walking in the gates.
Shut up. I was fine.
Failed at jumps.
I totally got a cold afterwards, but I was fine.
And then everybody's shoes and socks got all wet except Rob, who brought galoshes.
Damn right. Poncho, everything.
And the camel bag. I've never seen a man more prepared for anything.
I took that thing yesterday, too. I certainly
saw the poncho.
There was quite a few. Yeah, and I had a damn poncho because I said it was going to rain all day, and then all it did was rain when I went to the store to buy the poncho, and that was it.
We also have the I've had a better beer person that shows up to these festivals. Well, they'll have a beer and they'll be like, it's all right, but I've had a better one.
Oh, every beer they drink, they
yeah.
say, yeah.
Yeah, like, you know, oh, you know, this Goza is great, but I had this other Goza at this brewery you've never heard of who only made a 5-barrel batch that was 6 years ago, and you'll never be able to taste it, but trust me, it's better. Like, that's the kind of person that, well, we see these a lot in the groups, too. People that it's almost like a badge of pride that you've tried a beer that nobody else has tried before.
Yeah, definitely in the groups. I mean, I didn't hear anything from any of the conversations that was going on at the beer fest, but I swear in the groups when somebody just does something as simple as, you know, enjoying a hot summer day and here's a picture of a beer and then somebody has a chime in, it's like, yeah, that beer sucks.
Well, it's AKA whenever somebody posts Oberon.
Oh, yes. Yeah. It's Oberon Day. Oberon's overrated. It's not as good as it was 5 years ago. They changed the recipe. You know, dare I say it, they cut it with cherry juice.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's using a Matt Bush joke over there.
Bingo.
Bingo. We forgot to mention, we got to meet the head brewer of Jade and James, by the way.
Yeah, yes. We did. Holy.
This guy who we've talked so much about on this show.
Yeah.
And all their beers were good. Like, I had... I'm trying to think. Oh, it was the Imperial Stout. I had the Imperial. I'm like, just give me a small pour. And he brings me a full glass. Yeah. I'm like, I hate you so much. I didn't say that to him. But in my head, I'm like, right. I wanted a small. Like, and that's the thing is that's how I also paced myself a lot, too. Is I was asking for half pours for a lot of these bigger beers simply because I didn't want to get drunk. And I think if I would have had a lot more, like if we would have stayed there a lot longer between the heat and even just the small, like it would have just knocked me dead. Like, I would have been telling Dan, yeah, we're taking a nap in my car.
Do they not have those, like, misting showers?
No.
They had people.
Griffin Claw had the fans.
Yep.
People had super soakers.
Okay. Yeah. Some people were just taking the hose off of the, you know, the big water jug and just spraying it up in the air. And just people were just walking under it.
Yep.
It was a couple of different things. But, yeah, there was like, Griffin Claw had the fans. There were probably, like, four or five other stands that just had misting fans. But that pretty much was it.
Seems kind of like a – because I remember, like, 2 years ago, one of my first shows, you guys skipped just because it was, like, 107 degrees outside during the – like, that Friday.
So yeah.
It's like, yeah, we're not going to go stand out in that weather. So
oh, that was just, last year.
Yeah, that was last year.
Yeah, we skipped it because of how hot it was.
It just seems like there needs to be mm-hmm. some.
You think they would do something.
Yeah. Well, somebody's going to just clunk out one day.
Don't they build fires at the winter one?
Yeah, they do.
They have fire pits.
Well, again, we noticed it was a lot more open, and people right. were bringing tents there. Yeah. Like,
Never saw that before.
They had their own personal
Canopy tents, not like sleeping tents.
Like the little umbrellas you wear over your head?
I wish I would have thought of that. That would have been kind of cool.
Yeah, no, I didn't see any of those.
No, it was, and people, like, there was actual, like, group tents, too. Like, homebrewers clubs brought, like, you know, they would put together, like, four tents. So I think next year we'll probably bring a tent.
That's a good idea.
It was like they were tailgating.
Yeah.
That's a great way to put it. They had inside.
They just set up a tent, set up their chairs, and just basically were just sitting around enjoying a beer.
Yeah, people were bringing, like, giant coolers of water too. Like these are the people that, like, you need to talk to. Like, you need the Brewers Guild to be like, this is how to survive the summer beer fest. Like, mm-hmm. the winter one, bring a coat. The summer one,
wear sleeves.
They can have you be the spokesman for the winter one.
I went to Winter Beer Fest last year.
Star wipe.
I went with a t-shirt.
What's funny is that was my first Winter Beer Fest too. Like, no, I've been to colder ones.
You went to the really bad one.
I went to the really bad one where people, the volunteers were pouring every single beer, like, every 5 minutes to keep the lines from freezing.
Jeez.
That's how bad it was.
If people were in tents, like, inside of a tent, not in tents.
Gotcha.
were they not then, like, walking around constantly like we typically see? Were they just going to an area getting some
That's
beers?
That's a good question, because I didn't notice. But you'd see them sitting around. They'd set up.
Right.
And
yeah, I think what would happen is they might walk around, get a few beers, socialize, and then go back to the tent with,
but
like,
you only have one cup, though, right?
Correct. So, yeah. So they're getting a beer, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, and then going back, getting a water, sitting down in shade, collecting your, you know, cooling down a little bit, I guess would be proper, a proper term. So I think that's what they were doing, is that they were, you know, taking a breather every 20, 30 minutes under their tent just to recoup.
So kind of like having a home base as opposed to just floating around
all
the time.
Yeah.
And there was, I don't know if you guys saw it, but there was just a line of people that were just sitting alongside the river.
Yeah.
And it was just kind of chilling out there.
Well, I mean, it gets as much as it's still wide open, it was still pretty crowded. It's still, you know, especially if you're someone with, like, high social anxiety and you have a lot of people around you, it's not as crowded as, say, the Fall Fest is. I think that's probably the most crowded because they try to
fit in a parking lot.
And even though how much they expand, it's still crowded as all hell. But, I mean, we went Saturday. They sold out. They sold out before they went live on Saturday, so they had full capacity in regards to the amount of people there.
Yeah, that line was up the hill.
Yeah, that was just the enthusiast line. We didn't get to see the regular line. Yeah.
Right, but I mean, with the enthusiast line, at least from one of the posts I saw on one of the boards, it said that line went through pretty quick.
Oh, that's good.
It was basically like it went through.
They get everyone stamped. Everyone has their ticket. So as long as they're having good service with their scanners or whatever they're using to get in, mm-hmm. you basically scan, walk by. There is no security or anything like that. So you walk in. They probably just check coolers just to make sure it was just water.
Yeah, don't bring your beer to a beer fest.
Well,
and some were. I heard somebody on the megaphone call somebody out as we were waiting.
Oh my god, I didn't see that.
PBR or
yeah, it was. I believe it was at, you know, what they called the Tree of Commerce.
Yes, the buying and selling ticket tree. No, so I saw John Pippenbrock or Chris from Latitude 42 post the beer that was in the Brewers Hospitality tent was Kirkland Light.
Oh my god.
The filthy 50?
Are you kidding?
Thanks, guys.
I saw a photo, and I'm like, oh, my. But that's not uncommon. I mean, we saw at the Oktoberfest when we saw Brigham Young and Piper Brock drinking PBR.
Oh, yeah, no. Yeah. Was it Pipe and Brock jumping the fence to get Strohs in a can?
Yeah.
Boozy?
Yeah, I'm like, God, I wanted some.
You know, when I accidentally stumbled, and when I say accidentally, I mean completely intentionally, stumbled into the where they were serving food area, and they didn't want to let me back in. So I was kind of stuck, like, I could just sit here and eat all this free food. And then I'm like, Briggerman, you got to help me.
Oh, at the Oktoberfest.
At the Fall Beer Fest.
Oh, yeah. The Fall Beer Fest, okay. Yeah, we went to go try to get food at the winter summer beer fest, and it was a bad idea the time, because we did it at like 3:30, and the line was just ridiculous.
What kind of food would they have had? Hot summer food?
I know they had sausages.
I mean,
and hot dogs.
I saw hot dogs, street tacos. I think that was at least that was all that I saw. And there's like, who knows what else they have, but yeah, that line was pretty much. The entire line was in the sun and said, yeah, we're not having any of that. So that's where we just left at that point. Yeah.
So in regards to the five people you see, number three is basically me in the non-douchey sense. But it's the everything cool is bad guy. Because I hate everything that's IPA and barrel-aged, and that's what everyone loves.
That's what everything was there.
That's basically me right there. I have fun when I say, like, this beer sucks or something like that, because first of all, most people know that I'm saying it tongue-in-cheek. Like, I just don't like it. You know, I think I went up to Travis and I'm like, yeah, M43 sucks or something. And he's, he's like, all right, whatever.
Why do people even drink this, Travis?
So, like, that kind of stuff, like, I don't believe in myself when I say that, because I know people like it. I know there's the market for it, obviously, or there wouldn't be, you know, 100,000 different New England IPAs at a brew fest with only 1,000 beers.
Right.
But, yeah, like, I know the people that are just like, oh, it's not the trendy thing to like. Like, Oberon is the cool thing to hate, or I'm trying to think of all these other beers, like, oh, you know, KBS is not as good as it was. You need to have CBS, or, you know, well, that's the one upper, I think, more than anything.
Yeah.
Number four, we had I only drink barrel-aged beers, Rob.
What? What about it?
How many barrel-aged beers do you have at the summer beer fest?
I don't know, at least 8.
Did you really?
I know I did.
Oh, my God.
No, I just threw that number out there. I'm not sure. So let's see. There was the you took too much. I had two of the mean vanilla bean.
Did you go back after I told you to only get a half pour? Is that what happened?
I didn't even know half pours were a thing. And you're like, oh, just get a half pour. I'm like, too late.
Because I had the first pour when we went. And then I had the second pour was the last beer I had because when I went back in, and I talked to them asking them if they are planning on bottling this or can I get it in growlers, and I said I'll take a little bit more of whatever you got left. So
the keg was tapped to everyone except for people they knew. Sorry guys, we're out of it.
So there were those. No, I know there were. I would say there were at least 4.
That's still too much. Like, for a festival where it was just that damn hot, I couldn't.
And, you know, at that point, that's when I kind of started to have a little change of heart when I used to say that, yeah, I'll drink a stout as a lawnmower beer. Now I'm kind of, you know, It's that whole milk was a bad choice kind of feeling that you're just thinking way
barrel aged mean vanilla bean glass number 4 was a bad choice.
You had multiple glasses of that.
I mean, hell, that stuff was good.
And finally, I really didn't see too many of this festival. I see them in photos, but it's the guy that's more excited to be at the festival than drink the beer at the festival.
Oh, God, yeah, those kind of people.
Like, so, I mean, they paid to get it. Like, this isn't like the five bad people you see in there. There are some, like, again, I'm number 3. There's plenty of number 5s.
What about the way too many pretzels around my neck guy?
Oh,
jeez.
Which guy would he be?
There were plenty of those.
There were plenty of those.
There was, the epic ones, I think, always come out on the fall one. The fall one typically has like
full packs of beef jerky.
Yeah,
none of those guys were there.
Well, what's so funny too is that I'm seeing like at a fall festival, I pretty much run into everyone. At this one, I didn't know everybody that was there because I'm seeing photos of people who were tagging themselves at the festival. I'm like, oh damn, I was there too. I didn't see you at all.
Yeah,
and it's not like we minus pouring for Latitude. We didn't stay stationary. We were walking around the whole time.
And pretty much staying under the tent in the shade.
Yeah. No, yeah, we were making sure to do that. We got to meet the third generation of Downies. We got to meet Dean's parents.
Yeah,
the grandparents rocking around with beers and.
They said something about grandma was a kick ass grandma when they were here.
Probably.
Yeah, we said something about grandma.
She was drinking beer. She probably is.
Oh yeah. Well, both of them were. Yeah. That's for sure.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, ran into Dean. Only person that we really missed was we missed Dan over at Axel. I just realized it earlier.
We never
today.
Went over to Axel.
I don't know where they were. That's
I never them. Saw him because every time Axel was right next to Glasshouse, which you know that was kind of for me it was it's kind of a sleeper because I don't think anybody really goes for this one, but they have a shandy there called a Hummingbird Nectar. Which is
a shandy?
Yes, which is really, really good.
Is it on their website?
I believe it is. Hey, they do have control.
Of
their website.
I was waiting for you to say, "Is that part of Destiny's Child, where you can pay my bills?" But we kid because we love.
And they do have control of their website. They have control of their email. They are up and running.
Are they still for sale?
That I know of, I'm not sure. I guess I need to take a look at that again and see if there is anything to that about the post that was up there.
Yeah, because somebody was attempting to sell. Well, obviously they were attempting to sell the brewery, and it was unnamed. Like they didn't name the place unless
they didn't even put the right address.
Yep.
It was like the address they put, it was like 123 Main Street, Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Where were they selling this? Craigslist?
No, it was
Backpage buying a brewery?
Because it was an open business, they didn't want people coming in unannounced looking at the place or anything like that.
Right.
I got you.
They wanted to control the entire sale schedule. Mm-hmm. Everything like that. But they took photos of the brewery.
Right.
Which obviously you couldn't fake to say it was a different brewery. It'd be like going up to Dearborn Brewing off of Michigan Ave, taking a photo and saying, unnamed Dearborn Brewing Brewery. Like, well, there's two of you, and one of you is inside a giant old, I think it was like a meat market or something like, not a market, a butcher shop.
Yeah.
Oh, Downey. I love those guys. We got sunglasses from them.
Yeah,
Dan,
yeah.
Where's your Downey sunglasses?
Oh, they're bad. I didn't bring them today. I have them, though. They're awesome.
The sunglasses that don't fit my head.
Yeah.
Now, do you think there's anybody that we omitted from the list of people you see?
We saw everyone. Like, we stopped by nearly every single tent. You know what I don't remember stopping by? Oddside.
We didn't stop by Oddside. We didn't stop by Koonin.
No. We did see Pipenbrock earlier in the day.
And then he texted you like 2 hours later.
He texted, hey, I got you to get in. I'm like,
yeah. Oh, thanks. We're about to leave now.
We figured it out.
Yeah. No.
Did we miss someone?
I did walk by Oddside. I saw Wes was there. I didn't get a chance.
Yeah, I saw they tapped out 2 hours before the fest ended. Yeah.
Did they?
Yeah.
Everyone likes their shit, apparently.
I can't remember his name. The dude from Brewery Vivant.
Ryan.
He was there, and man, they were really running out of beers.
I was gonna say when we were walking out, there was a lot of beers that were crossed out, and a lot of like I think that's one of the main reasons why you should go to a Friday fest anyways, is because all these beers are getting tapped out by the end of the day, and you're not able to try it unless you you have to try really hard. But Matt apparently has someone in mind.
No, I brought up the the guy with the pretzel necklace.
Oh, that. I thought we were talking about people that we, friends of the show.
Oh, no. I just meant, general stereotypes, general stereotypes.
Well, I saw a good one, the CBY writing tasting notes into the book with the map and everything.
What?
Like, as he's sitting there drinking, writing tasting notes by the beer. I saw at least one of those. It was an actual thing. Like he's writing in as he's taking a sip of it.
Like I did the check marks one year.
Did you? No, this guy was actually writing out stuff.
Yeah, like, he definitely wanted to keep his untapped profile.
Yeah,
going
yeah. I think that's probably what that was.
He's got a lot of updating to do when he gets home.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with the Better on Draft podcast. And we are back, episode 93 of the Better on Draft.
The Johan Franzen episode.
Johan Franzen.
Is he still relevant?
Sometimes.
Let's talk about relevance.
There it is.
He's got those Terminator shades on, so he can't see the sun.
There it is.
Episode 93. This is a Sunday morning special edition post-festival. I think we're going to have probably two more this year when we do...
Fall Beer Fest?
The Fall Beer Fest, and we're going to try to make it up to the UP Beer Fest. Good. It's a hike.
Yeah, we might take a couple days for that one.
Yeah. So with that in mind, as always with segment two, and not always. I say that all the time. And
yeah,
like,
no,
it's been first and second segment's been with a guest, and then third. So, you know, Rob does all this work. But, so this is the time for Rob to shine with the news.
Hey, get to do a little bit of...
No, Nick's not here to do it.
Yeah, no, Nick. So, you know, a little bit of news, you know. Brought to you by North Center Brewing.
Over in Northville, Michigan. South the Baseline, North Center Road. Check them out. They got food down there, too.
Yeah, they do. All right. I guess we're going to start. You wanted to start with this one. There was an article that came from VinePair that asked some brewers about trends they'd love to see die. So I figured I would kind of go around the room with these and you know, get your thoughts on it. Yes or no's, whys, whatnot. First one they want to get rid of, anything with peanut butter.
No. I like peanut butter stuff.
I don't drink anything with peanut butter in, so this does not affect me.
So you don't drink anything of the Jaden James when we bring it in? You don't?
No, I don't like... I mean, I try it. I don't really like the dark beers, and peanut butter really doesn't lend itself to an IPA. So... or a Pilsner.
Please don't be
peanut butter
IPA.
Pills. There you go. There's a beer you could do.
But so what I'm thinking is, you know, it doesn't affect me either way, so I guess I'll abstain from this ballot.
If anybody ever makes a IPA, an IPA with peanut butter.
India peanut butter ale?
That's when it's done. That's when it's
there
done.
There we go. You know what
an IPBA?
IPBA.
Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and do that just to ruin it. To ruin it for all of
that's
you.
That's a good idea. You should. Be like, here you go.
And then it's going to start the trend, and it's going to be, instead of like New England IPAs, it's Matt Bush IPAs, and it's peanut butter. And everyone's going to be like, Matt, why'd you do peanut butter? He's like, I hate peanut butter.
You know, I think what I'm going to do, I'm going to soak hops in a big vat of peanut butter for weeks and then throw those hops into a brew kettle.
So I like my peanut butter beers, so I'm going to say keep them.
Dan?
I don't know. They all taste the same, honestly. Like, I had a bunch of those on Saturday. I didn't tell a difference between
them. I say you had the peanut butter porter from the Bob.
Yeah. Well, that was decent. Because the chocolate always comes out more. It's so hard to get flavor out of peanuts.
Mm-hmm.
So the cocoa always takes over. So they always taste the same to me. So take it or leave it.
All right. Second one, producing beers by feel. Basically, the way this the head brewer from Pike's Peak, he said that there was almost a sense of pride among a select few breweries in their ability to produce popular beer with minimal or no laboratory. This started to die down a little bit as most brewers recognized the need for stringent quality control in producing quality beers. I'd like to continue to see this move away from beer production by feel towards a greater focus on quality controls.
I agree. Give me consistency.
Yeah, so you're saying no more, let's try to make this beer, let's put it in a lab and perfect it?
Exactly.
Or let's not make this beer the same every time.
I'm going to disagree with that one. I think there's something to be said, especially with small brewers who need to make things by feel. And then if it turns out well or if it's good or it's received well, then it's time to perfect to make sure it's consistent. But I think that's the artisanship of beer and food in general, like cooking versus baking, where
it's an art form.
It's an art form. It's an inexact science. But then when you come across something good, you perfect it. Like your bourbon cheesecake or whatever, you probably played with it a couple times, and then once you got it—
at least 20.
And then once you got in the wheelhouse, you know, you did it. You know, Evan Baffin came in and said they used all these different types of mangoes. They tried fresh mangoes versus cut-up versus frozen versus Nicaraguan versus Mexican— and they finally found the mangoes they liked, and they kept with it. So I think, at least in the microbrewery sense, nanobrewery.
Well, honing into the beer is fine if you're going to try to make it better or you know, figure out what you want the recipe to be. But once you get that recipe down and this is the beer I want to make year after year, batch after batch, then yes, you should make it as consistent as possible.
So yeah, that's my two cents.
I think we're in the same scenario. I think you just explained it a little more deeper.
Truly, madly, deeply.
See what you did
thanks,
there.
Thanks, yeah, Savage, nice. Savage Garden.
No, I agree that. With Matt. You should feel it out. I mean, this is supposed to be fun. Beer is not some scientific, serious thing. I mean, get over it. Get over it. That's a CBY statement. Like, oh, you need to go to the lab and perfect this.
Well, I don't think I'm saying you need to go to the lab and perfect it, but I think once you've found the recipe that you want to make consistently, don't try to replicate it without being smart.
Yeah, but I guess what it sounds like this, though, is that the beer is more focused on the chemistry and biology of the beer as opposed to, you know, tasting the malt to see if it's far enough. Because it sounded like this haze craze when we talked to Travis last week that they tried to make a New England IPA not knowing when it would come. It was good, so they kept it. It just seems like we would miss out on so many things if we didn't go by feel, if we just went by – all right, we're going to add this much to this, and at this point, we're going to add this. And if it was all, you know, I mean, it's all going to be regimented to a point, but, you know, add a little bit, take a little bit out, you know, try to perfect it. You know, if you got a beer that's really good, can you make it amazing by, you know, adding, subtracting, playing around? I don't know. That's just my thought. It's supposed to be your local beer house. If you want to drink the same beer over and over, go to the, you know, the Budweiser aisle in your party store.
Crack a PBR. Right. You know? Yeah.
Consistent. All right, this third one, I'm still trying to understand. Collector's items IPAs.
What is that?
I don't know. It basically, this brewmaster at Bronx Brewery said collector's items IPAs, beer shouldn't be taken so seriously, and I think people are beginning to tire of the pretentiousness.
Yeah, hear, hear.
Yeah.
Yes.
Beer is supposed to be fun. I just said that.
Beer is supposed to mess you up and get you drunk.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to get messed up by hitting someone in the face because you want a beer there.
So. Yeah, you're not supposed to be one-upping everyone. Well, I had this beer, like we were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
Like some pride that you tasted something no one else has. Who gives a shit?
Right. And the next one, obviously, we see these breweries just pop up one after another, and they all do this. But this particular head brewer wants beer flights to go away. Says beer is meant to be drunk by the pint, not by the shot. There are a lot of flavors and aromas that are lost in small tasting glasses, as well as switching back and forth between tasters wrecks your palate. I also wish people would stop naming subgenres of IPA, particularly with colors. Black IPA, red IPA, it's an IPA. If a beer is black, it isn't pale. That's just what he says.
I think that's like the definition of someone who doesn't get it or is trying to make beer what it's not.
I mean, as a head brewer, he gets something.
No, so does he not? I'm trying to find a beer I like. Now I'm on the sixth pint, and I finally find something I like, and I'm wasted.
But the thing is,
maybe didn't have a good time doing it.
Then, you know, that's a brewer that doesn't train his staff, because typically, if you go to a good brewery and you ask for a flight, they're going to put it in order. They're going to give you, you know, your 4 to 5 beers. They're going to put it in order of your IBUs to your coloredness to where you're going to want to drink this one first. You're going to want to drink this one last. And that's where educating a staff and not just putting beer in a barrel and saying, pull the handle and give it to them is crucial. You know, if you're going to go ahead and make something, make sure it's done properly. So teach your staff, hey, if it has a lower IBU, then you put it at the beginning of the flight, and if it's got a higher IBU, put it at the higher end of the flight. You know,
I agree with you. I don't think there's any reason to not do flights anymore. There's you should do flights. That's the thing though. Is usually like I know my style. I know when I go to a bar or a brewery, I should say, I'm gonna get a flight and a pint of the brown. That's really the entire – because I want my brown because I know the brown's most likely going to taste well. And then I'm going to do the flight to see what else they have to order, see what my next – you know, my
see
next
which,
pint.
Which variant of IPAs that you like and don't like?
Well, the one thing that bothers me is if I have to – if I go to a brewery and they have a flight, and mind you, make sure – if they have a decent selection, like say anything over 10, And if I can't fill an entire flight of beer without having to have an IPA in there, that's what bothers me.
Now, let me ask you a question.
Okay.
So in an alternate universe where only brown ales are popular and IPAs are eh, and there's like a chestnut brown, a walnut brown, a, I don't know, peanut nut brown. Brown, a peanut brown. A
coffee brown.
Like, you walk in, brown. So you walk into the Brown Iron Brew House on Brown Day. Oh.
On Brown Day.
At 27 in Van Dyke in Washington. And everything's brown. Isn't and there's 26? Like one IPA. 26, 27.
It's all the same once you get out
if
there.
If you're headed towards 27 Mile Road, it'll be right there. So where do you think you would lose it if there was just like a chocolate brown, a peanut brown, a Hershey brown, a Mexican chocolate brown, a, you know, would you just sit there and drink all of them and then?
So in regards to that, There comes a point in time where they're like, even me, like as much as brown ales are my go-to beers while I'm at home, I still have other beers. Like I couldn't just sit there and do a flight of six brown ales. Like there was Eternity had the Star S'mores and I only did one of their beers. As much as I wanted to try the rest, I'm like, there's plenty of other beers to try here that are not brown ales. So as much as I love my browns, I didn't even have an alt. I couldn't find one really.
I don't think there was one to find. There's, I thought there was.
Yeah, I thought there was, but it was promoting the 22nd anniversary of ABC. But without the brown ale, like if the brown ale was as abundant as IPAs, I wouldn't get sick of it, but I would be like, I want to try other beers. Why are there so many goddamn browns?
There you go.
On the 50th anniversary of the Detroit riots.
Is that today?
That is today.
Ken's yelling about browns.
That's
brown ales, folks. Brown ales. Remember, I know plenty of brown ales, and they're very, very good ales.
Well spoken. Well spoken.
See what I did there?
Yeah, I did. Goodness. I guess I really didn't get up on my Belgian whites. Anyway, going on. This one is going to upset Matt and make Dan happy at the same time.
Uh-oh.
So I'm just going to read the quote. Blood orange fruited beers. Some people really dig that flavor in beers. We absolutely do not. Oh, also, pumpkin beers.
Oh, yeah.
I don't like pumpkin beers.
Pumpkin beers can go die in a fire.
I like blood orange beers because there's a juiciness to them. Not because typically if you put blood orange in an IPA, you're going to get a balance to it where it's not going to have like tongue burn.
Right.
Where you're not licking sandpaper or you're not huffing a pine cone. You're going to get some balance that.
You've obviously done both of those.
Yeah.
I mean, you get some. Talking from experience.
You get some IPAs and it's like 100 IBUs and it's like, oh, I think I just licked a million postage stamps.
Yeah.
So you put a flavor in there, whether it's a fruit flavor or a cucumber or something else, it at least balances out to make it less.
Right. Exactly. Because, I mean, I've never been the fan of gozas and sours and until you actually give me some sort of other flavor in there that I can at least, you know, enjoy. That you know, kind of balances off that amount of sour that comes off of it. It's like, you know, Perrin's cherry sour. That's pretty good because, you know, it's sour, but it has that cherry balance to it. So,
and that's the kind of concept that like lagers get a misconception about, especially macro lagers, that it doesn't have any flavor to it. So people want to put hops in their beer and they get their IPAs, or they want to put extra malt in there and then they get their porters and stouts. So when you just have something that's just water, hops, then all you're going to taste is that.
Right.
So you put something in to change it, to make it different. And that's why I like hops, is because if you have a Cascade hop versus a Mosaic hop versus a Citra hop, you're going to get a different flavor. And you can play it with different ingredients with that. And you can make a beer that you wouldn't otherwise just make with water.
Right.
Rice. A little bit of yeast.
Ken, your thoughts?
Blood orange stout?
No.
Nah. Blood orange brown.
I don't know that malt flavor with the citrus. I don't know how I would feel about that. That would be a really weird taste. I can't even think of that. Like, it just doesn't make sense to me to mix those flavors together.
Chocolate. I mean, well, it's like orange covered, like chocolate covered oranges or something like that.
Is that a thing?
Yeah.
Sure it is.
I don't eat sweets, so don't be like, yeah. I'm like, no, I don't.
Yeah, it's a thing.
As much as I'm, you know, my beer gut is from beer, pizza, and fast food and not exercising and driving way too much, it's not from sweets, oddly enough.
You can get bags of dark chocolate-covered oranges at Costco. It's ridiculous.
I don't go to Costco either, except for my Kirkland beer.
Hey, exactly. That's where you get your KBS. Okay, I get it now.
At Kirkland Beer Series. KBS.
Another one they had on here was cloudy beers, which, I mean, that pretty much seems like the quote just simply says cloudy beers. So I don't know if that goes into unfiltered, if that's talking about, you know, hazy IPAs. I guess it's just everything. If you can't see through the glass, I guess he probably doesn't like it.
So then, I mean, in theory, you're not going to be able to see through a stout. No. So does he not like stouts then?
Probably not.
So this guy's like a yellow beer person.
Yeah, more likely. Next one. This one's always funny, which actually kind of goes back to, you know, what we were talking about with people at the beer fest. People who are rating every beer they drink on apps and social media and getting a little overdone.
A little overdone.
Dan, what was your tasting notes for the barrel aged hazelnut flying gorilla?
Yeah, I don't even remember. You mean flying buffalo?
Yeah, that too. Yeah, I mixed Ascension. There you go. There's a
good
flying gorilla, the Ascension Griffin Claw.
That sounds like the Wizard of Oz beer.
The Wizard of Oz.
Nice.
I don't know. Like I used to rate simply to know if I like the beer or not.
Mm-hmm.
Like I tried like doing like a whole rating system. I make fun of people in regards to, oh, that beer's 4.25. How come it was only 4.25 and not 4.5? Or how come it was 4 and not 4.25?
Right.
So I either labeled it that I liked it, loved it, or didn't like it at all.
Yeah.
So loved it was a 5, liked it was a 4, didn't like it was a 1.
How many quarter stars?
I never did a quarter. If I did, it was on accident.
Damn star search.
You can go through my Untapped at Better On Draft podcast, and you cannot see any.
Unless it was Nick that did it.
No, because I don't think he checked in too many to the Untapped page. He might himself.
Probably on the old one.
Maybe. I don't know.
Before we switched him around.
Switched him around to the one that I had, which had 20,000 followers on it.
That's funny. One line that this particular brewer points out, he says, being critical of such a complex beverage simply because you can download a free app demeans the craft of brewing great beer.
What?
That's going on about, you know, just going on to stuff like Untapped or
it's basically the same theory of the you're not Yelping. Like everyone has Yelp, so they think they're a food critic, so they think they deserve to be able to rate your food, even though, you know, the best pizza they had was Buddies. You know, you might say Buddies because they're a Detroit person, so they're going Buddies to say terrible. Buddies.
That's kind of my I hate Buddies.
I like Louis. Do you like Louis?
I don't think I've had Louis.
Oh, I got to take you to Louis one day.
I think my favorite is still Pizzanello's up in Mount Pleasant. Maybe just because I got drunk and ate that pizza way too many times in college.
But that's the thing, though, is you have like a story and a theory around it. Like Louis is our post Hamtramck singles bowling tournament, so we're already drunk when we get there. But it's a Detroit deep dish, except it's with like mozzarella chunks as opposed to shredded mozzarella.
Interesting. Ooh.
And it's really like that pizza. And like I'm a big guy. And I can't eat more than a slice and a half, 2 slices at max.
You know, I've always been more of a round person over the Detroit deep dish. You know, if I get a Jets, it's going to be round. And if they're amazing.
They make round at Jets?
And it's epic.
Yeah. I actually had Happy's Pizza for the first time yesterday. And it was
salt bomb.
It was all right. Like, I was able, they have a thing where they double bake it. Because I love thin crust pizza that's like really crispy.
Mm-hmm.
So that was like I saw it and I'm like, I'm gonna get it, because I used to do Asiago's in Detroit and they changed their recipe for their thin crust to where it's not a thin crust pizza anymore. It's like a regular pizza, and I'm like, this isn't thin crust, don't lie to me.
Actually, the best pizza in the world is in Romeo, Michigan at Tomato and Basil. So next time you're at Brown Iron Brewing House, take a right or keep going a few more miles.
This 28 mile?
No, this one's like 31 and a half.
That's a few more miles.
It's up there. It's good, though. It's worth it. That's
what do we got next, Rob?
Next, there was a couple other ones. You know, he brought up, another guy brought up fruit beers. Someone brought up filling growlers from the tap because the lack of counter pressure CO2 fill does serious damage to the beer. Which, you know, I don't.
What do you think about that? Because all of our brewers bring us growlers, crawlers, howlers, prowlers.
I think his list is somebody who hollers. Maybe just doesn't want to drink beer anymore. Maybe like,
I mean, these are all brewers. These are all separate brewers.
These are
brewers.
Quotes from like a group Lizzie of
Porta
brewers.
Brewing Company?
These are all brewers from all separate, you know, brewing companies.
So this one is from Standing Stone Brewing, as I'm looking it up right now. Yeah. And it looks like I'm trying to find out where they're located. So they've been a brewery for 21 years. So it's not like there's something new. It looks like an old Italian restaurant as I'm looking at it. It's got a 541 area code. Anybody know where that is?
And I don't. But
Colorado.
Oregon.
Oh, Oregon. Sorry. In Oregon. I saw CO, but it was for Co, not Colorado.
Yep.
Thanks, Ken.
I don't know. It's like restaurants that don't want to do takeout because they're so hoity-toity that they want the presentation of the food to be, you know, part of the experience and not just put it in a styrofoam container and have you take it away. So
if you're too hoity-toity to make money, you need to stop.
Yeah, I don't even know what to say about that.
You shouldn't even
like that's if that's a thing, and if anyone owns a restaurant or knows a restaurant, that I wouldn't even patron them if they, you know, they had regular food. Because I tell you what, there's this Harbor House over in Detroit right by Greektown, and they had a calamari, and it was a deep fried calamari, but they had the sauce that was like, it was just like a gravy type, not gravy, but like a on top of the calamari type sauce. Delicious. Like, this isn't the one where you like you dip it in marinara or something like that to make our tartar to make it taste, oh, so good. And I found out like I could get it to go, and I'm like, if they would have told me I couldn't get it to go, I wouldn't bother getting it anymore. That's just a waste,
right?
Because I'm not gonna go sit in a restaurant for goddamn calamari look like a fucking knobber. No, just give it to me so I can go home, throw on Netflix,
exactly,
and eat your goddamn food.
All right, another one, beers with meat.
Beers with meat. Like
with meat.
Flavored beers.
Magnalista Porter from Right Brain.
Oh, like the one with Scrapple in it. No,
yeah.
No,
yeah.
That shit can go.
Yeah.
Get rid of that.
Going back to restaurants real quick, one other pet peeve I have, and I saw this, I know of a place that not only – now, sometimes I can understand, like, if they charge you an extra – like, instead of, like, a to-go charge, they charge you, like, a quarter or something for the container. I know this place that charged for the container, the silverware – the sauce, as well as the container the sauce came in.
Is this a Jewish restaurant?
No. Daniel.
Dump.
Wow.
Come on, you were thinking the same thing.
No, I wasn't.
They charged a nickel for sugar or creamer or sweet and low, like the little packets. Yeah, this
place isn't in business.
Was it Spirit Airlines?
Oh, is it Spirit Airlines? Yeah.
That's better.
It is.
How much does it cost? Do you like take three, like a nickel every step in the restaurant you take?
Quarter to use the bathroom.
I was going to say, poor Nick with his short legs.
dollar to get a high chair.
That's going to be $3. We're going to have to clean the grout.
No, this place is, it's actually a deli inside a business office in Troy.
Wow.
Is it on Big Beaver?
Well, that's...
I mean, it's an office building in Troy. I mean, what the hell isn't on Big Beaver?
All the businesses on, like, Livernois or...
Well, I was going to say, you got Crooks and 18 Mile, too.
Yeah, true.
Good so, do we have any others?
Yeah, actually, this was one I kind of brought up last week. The Growler. Getting rid of the Growler. Says that it's inefficient, poor serving vessel, doesn't hold well. Once we pour it and cap it, we have no idea how long it's going to be until it's drunk, if it's going to be stored cold or rolling around in the car, and says, all hail the Crowler.
Oh.
It's the exact same thing. No. So a Growler sealed. And a Crowler is not – yes, true. But a Crowler still has a shelf life, just as a Growler does. A Crowler can roll around in your car just as much as a Growler can. A Crowler might not get stored cold as much as a Growler might not. There's so many things that you can do, but in the end, that's based on the the service of the employees to tell you you need to drink this within 7 days.
So what you're saying is, in the end, it really doesn't matter.
Oh, that's a dump.
I was
waiting. That's worse than Dan.
And once I saw Matt come in, I said, you know, he's going to do it. He's getting there.
Just hang in there, guys. Just hang in there.
Yeah, once again. Good Lord.
Might have to dump this entire second segment.
Exactly. All right. Last one, which probably, you know, is probably one of the biggest ones in here. This co-founder, director of brewing operations at Union Craft, he says that if you can buy beer on a shelf, it must not be as good as a limited release.
What?
It's such a backward way of thinking. You think a brewer is not going to put out great beer every day and only save it for their rare and limited stuff. It's just crazy. So I guess he's pretty much
That's
going
a CBY
on that
thing right that, there.
Well, no, he's calling out CBY.
Yeah, thinking only the limited release beer is good. That's right. A CBY thing.
That's a very CBY thing. Like one of the lists coming up is going to be the top X for however many. Like I'm not going to do like top 10 every time. It's going to be top however numbers I get because I'm not going to try to like fill it up.
Right.
So like we'll have a top 7 something or a top 8. But we're going to do, like, the top 10 beer traders and, like, what kind of people you get when you're doing beer trading. And one of them's going to be this guy who always has, like, the rare beers that are good that talks about it that'll simply, you know, hold the beer, trade it, and then hold that beer and then trade it. And then sooner or later, he spent $200 and he still hasn't
drank the beer. Yeah, unbelievable.
The hedge fund trader.
I think the term is new money. Like there's a big guy in the Detroit community, Alex. We all know him through DACB, and that's the guy who does have an epic cellar. But the thing is that when he goes down to show you the cellar, and you say, "Man, that's great," his exact words were, "Okay, let's crack it open." That's what he does whenever he has a share or anything at his house. And I think that's a huge difference from what he does to what a majority of other people do.
What he's doing then should be what people do. I agree.
Yeah. I agree. And that's the thing is that I had a batch one parents' Lil Grizz. Like he had a bottle of batch one Lil Grizz. Like it was unlabeled. He got it from Perrin. And he said, "Oh, you know, here, have this. I know you like brown ales."
Nice.
He didn't ask for anything. He didn't do anything. He didn't, you know, like we all went there. We all brought our own beer and he showed us the cellar and somebody said something and is exactly again, let's crack it open. And we're all in shock. Like, no, that's your beer. You're saving it for something. And he's like, I'm saving it for you to ask me to drink it. And that's the thing is that's what a lot of people should strive to be is that type of person, that type of beer trader, that type of beer drinker.
I had to get to one of these shares.
You know, and we look at I have in regards to, you know, when I offer beer at my house, I always say the door is off limits. And that's because that's the beer
that is on limits. I thought.
No,
not did you change it?
No. Yes. Because the door is where the less amount of beer is now because the whole second and third shelf is beer still.
Okay.
So the door is off limits or the drawer is off limits. Usually those are my. But that's the thing is that's what I planned on drinking tonight. But the entire rest is up to you. But if somebody said, "Can I have this?" I'm still going to say yes. You know, just like when Dan shows up and he gives me a what was it, barrel-aged Scotty Karate.
11 a.m.
At 11 a.m. on a Sunday. Thanks, Dan.
Go Lions!
Yeah. Hey,
we did win that game. Yeah.
Knocked off the Eagles.
Yeah, that was, what was that, EDP? Is that the famous Eagles YouTube guy? Do you not know who EDP? Oh, my God. We are going to take a quick break. I think we're going to show Dan a small clip because I think he's about to head out. And we'll be right back with the Better on Draft podcast. And we are live, episode 93 of the Better on Draft podcast.
Wow.
As we always go into segment three, especially when we don't have a guest, we have 5 questions with Matt Bush. And oddly enough, I don't think the music is on here. For your 5 questions, because we're in the Daily Show theme. I was going to say it doesn't have the. I'll see if I can find something just to play, but we'll start with you and yeah.
So I did a little bit of research this week, and by a little bit of research, I meant about 20 minutes before we went on air today. Currently, the most geography, obviously. Adam Gase, he is currently the head football coach of the Miami Dolphins. He is the most notable celebrity born in this Michigan town.
Most notable celebrity born in this Michigan town.
I mean, if it's a Michigan town, wouldn't he probably be the only one born?
There's a list, but I didn't really recognize any names or anybody that really struck me.
Throw them out there.
Can we at least get like a
Washtenaw County?
Oh, okay. That's a lot more than I was expecting.
Okay.
There we go. I just put a little.
Oh, there it is.
This is different music.
Washtenaw County.
Washtenaw County. I don't even know what cities are in Washtenaw. Yeah. Except
give me some more names.
Ann Arbor, Ipsy. Okay. I'm going to give my guess because Saline.
That was going to be my guess.
Yeah. All right, that's like the non-big name city that's still a decent size.
The answer is actually Ypsilanti. I just kind of did it because Beerfest was
in
Ypsilanti this week. So I figured, you know, let's do something. All right, so.
There's got to be more people from Ypsilanti.
Notable people as listed on Wikipedia. Nicholas Ashford, songwriter, singer.
What?
Nick Ashford and
Simpson. Solid as a rock, man. Oh, get out of here.
Mike Bass, former NFL player. Walter Briggs Sr., owner of the 1919-252 Detroit Tigers.
I'm looking at all the names. I wouldn't recognize a single one of these names anyways,
Amy
including
Devers, Rodney Holman, Carolyn King, Alfred Lucking. I mean, when you just put in congressman, I mean, it's pretty obvious that they obviously
are congressmen. Smalls.
So we talked about this earlier. What is the best type of cheese to pair with beer?
Best type of cheese to pair with beer?
There is a right answer, by the way.
I would say, I'm trying to think of like a charcuterie board, like what kind of cheese you would find in a charcuterie board.
Right.
Brie?
The answer is actually cheddar.
Really? Okay, that makes sense. I think we're overthinking it a little.
Yeah, and that's, partially opinion, while partially opinion, that's also, when I looked at best beer and cheese pairings, cheddar was like top. 8 of the top.
What does it go with?
Pretty much anything, just based on the sharpness of the cheddar. So the more sharp the cheddar, the higher the IBUs, if you will. So you guys got a Red Solo cup today.
Goodness.
So do you assert this? This is a craft beer.
This is a craft beer.
This is a craft beer.
You know, while I'm sitting here sipping my, 2016 cloud-aged, smart water.
So you was so funny when the waiter came. I was so tired when the waiter came to us, and he goes, we all order water almost simultaneously at the bar, and he goes, I'll bring you a carafe of water. And I heard craft water, and I'm like, you're going to bring us, like, Evian or?
Carafe.
Yeah, carafe.
No, carafe.
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 You said carafe.
Well, you have a carafe beer.
And shout out to Sidetrack and that Mac Attack burger.
So I'm going to go ahead and give you, this is one of the top 25 craft beers in the United States that's distributed in the Midwest. Do you have any flavor tasting profiles that you'd like to share?
Oh, piney.
Piney? I don't think that I would have put piney with it, but okay.
It's got a bitterness to it.
Yeah, it does.
Like, I don't know if it's because it's warm, so it's a little.
It's a little warm. It's been in my cellar.
I've been in your cellar?
Oh, it just felt like cracking out something special. Oh, we appreciate that.
You're from your cellar. Okay, it was in my basement in a box, and I just had to.
My cellar's on the 16th floor of my apartment complex on a box that. Well, no, now it's on my bookshelf.
There we go. Because the cat gets it if it's not?
Well, it was in a box on on my old dog cage, but I sold the dog cage, so I put it up somewhere so that the cat wouldn't do anything stupid.
So, Rob, do you have any tasting notes? Is it Lever 2000-y enough for you, or is this more zestfully?
I mean, it's a little bit more zestfully. I mean, there's definitely not that, that soapiness to it. And it definitely seems malty, without a doubt.
I'm too busy looking at the other notable people from Ypsilanti and not finding anyone. It's really weird.
So we have two questions, maybe a third if we need today.
So your hint was it's a top 25 beer in the United States.
Top 25 brewery in the United States.
Top 25 brewery by production or yes. Okay. So top 25 brewery by production. I guess if it's by production and it's a Michigan, then it's Founders
Bell's. So, I mean, we could knock that out first to see if it's Michigan.
Right.
But what else would he have in his cellar? That's the thing, is I'm trying to think of Matt. Like, what would Matt carry in his cellar?
Right.
And it's craft, so it's not going to be anything
right.
Well, and sneaky or anything.
We can't ask if it has the label yet because, you know, the label's not really.
Yeah, it doesn't.
Goodness.
I'm jamming to the Bloodhound Gang.
Yeah, I was
playing in the back. It was the only like techno-y thing that I could think of when I saw it.
Have the page of the brewer here. So any questions that you think you might want to ask, I can definitely answer according to a website.
Okay, so I top 25. And
American craft
beer. American craft beer. Okay. I mean, it's got to get distroed here, so that takes out a few of the breweries.
Right.
Like, I think Rheingeist might be up there, and that's not a. I don't know what I'm tasting though. Like the color, because it's in a red solo cup, so I'm trying to like, it's hard to see the color under the foam. It's like a brown amber.
A bit, yeah.
But again, it's hard to see in a solo cup.
I'm gonna take a shot in the dark that you've both had this before.
That we both, it's a shot in the dark, so it's not a. It's hard to.
Wait, and again, he said it was 25th, or it's just
top
in,
25.
In the top 20.
Top 25.
Okay, in the top 25. All right. Yikes.
All right. Here, I'm going to go with the first one, and we might have to, like, add continuation, like a continual question for clarification.
Sure.
Was this brewed in the Midwest?
It was not.
Okay.
Hmm.
So I'm going to go clarification.
Sure.
Michigan, Ohio, Indiana, Illinois, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Iowa, Nebraska.
Those are all Midwestern states.
Okay. that's clarification.
Those are indeed states in the Midwest.
I'm just making sure that what I was asking was being answered properly.
And I'm answering you to the best of my geographical abilities.
Well, hopefully you know what state it is.
Yes.
God damn it. I was hoping.
I even know what city it's in, to be honest with you.
You were really
hoping.
You know
what city it's in.
Wow.
It could be, well, see, is it something that could it be like Brooklyn Brewery because it's in Brooklyn? Like maybe he's thinking that, like that could be
I don't know, not necessarily.
Or it could be Boston Beer Co. It could be Sam Adams.
Cause I don't remember, you know.
Is this Sam Adams Lager?
I mean, that definitely.
I haven't had that in years, like Boston Lager.
Shit, I can't remember the last time.
I can't even tell the last time I had a Sam Adams. Yeah. It was probably like a Rebel IPA, too, and I don't even remember it.
That's
so, because, I mean, thinking about that, like, it's not in the Midwest, and it has to be an obvious, like, I mean, he might know, like, Yinglings in Pottsville, but I think it's either Boston or Boston or Brooklyn.
That's the thing. Brooklyn Brewery, but I wouldn't think they were in the top 25.
Brooklyn Brewing, oh yeah. They have a huge distro.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Huh. All right.
Yeah, because I mean, like,
I know your shoots is in Bend, Oregon too.
I mean, basically, since it's not in the Midwest, maybe our next question should be, is it east or west of the Midwest?
I know Cigar City's in Tampa, Florida.
I mean, at that point, Cigar City isn't top 25 in production, though. They're still a young brewery.
Yeah, touche.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to show that I know Spetzel Brewing is in Shiner, Texas.
But wait. I guess that needs clarification.
Alaska's in Juneau.
Are we talking about top 25? Or are we're talking top 25 in terms
production.
Of production?
Yeah. I already clarified that.
Okay, I missed that then. All right. Too busy tasting whatever this is.
Do you like it, Rob?
I mean, I'm okay with it.
Yeah, it's not bad, but it's not.
You're not offended by it?
No.
I have brought you a Four Loko this morning?
Absolutely not.
So like we're getting tasty notes, and it's not anything too malty. It's not anything too bitter. Like, I'm getting a little pine in it, but I'm not getting anything that's like kick you in the face like a West Coast hop IPA.
Right.
I mean, I guess my next, I honestly think it's Boston Lager. Like, I think that's my my go-to. So I am going to go with, I mean, we could technically break this down even further. So I have an idea.
All right.
Do you have the list, the top 25?
No, I knew the top 10 off the top of my head at one point, but I can pull up the top 25.
Okay. So is this a top 5 brewery in production?
I'm going to go top 25 craft breweries by volume. Is that okay?
Yes, that's what we're going with. That's what I thought we were.
So I'm going to use from March 15, 2017, the Brewers Association put a list of top 50 breweries of 2016.
Yes.
Is that fair?
That's fair.
And it is...
because top 5 is going to bring me down to 3 different names.
All right. Looking at this list, it is indeed in the top 5.
Okay. So, Boston is the top 5. One that I didn't think of, Sierra Nevada, New Belgium.
Ooh.
Like, those have to be 3. I think Yingling's number 1, but I think those 3 are also in the top 5.
Well, you just did list the top 4, and just for our listeners at home, is it Gambrinus is number 5?
Gambrinus, yeah.
Gambrinus is number 5. With Duval, Bell's, Deschutes, Stone, and Oscar Blues holding out the top.
Wait a minute.
Holding out the top
once you
10.
Said New Belgium, then the first thing that came to my mind was this being Fat Tire.
It could be.
Yeah.
I mean, the Vienna-style lager is a lot like amber, so it's going to taste the same almost like a New Belgium. So I think we wasted our question in regards to the Midwest because we would have cleared out the entire Midwest by asking that question first.
Right. Well,
so I don't think, like, I really think, like, New Belgium is a lot more, I don't know, it's hard to really describe the taste because, one, I'm not really good at describing taste. I either like it or I don't.
Right.
My job here is to be the intellectual questioner of, like, honing in everyone. But really, it's just Rob and I with Matt just toying with us.
That's why I leave it to you.
Would you like to play a game?
How about a game of chess?
Did you see the trailer for that? The new Jigsaw movie? I'm like, you're just beating a dead horse. The new Kingsman movie looks legit, though.
I didn't see the old one.
I know. I need
the
to
old
that
Kingsman?
First. I need
oh,
to see that first one, too.
Great. Yeah. A great, great movie.
All right. All right so
we got to come up with an answer. And I have it down to 3 beers.
Okay.
I think it's either Boston Beer's Boston Lager. I think it's either New Belgium's Fat Tire. Uh-huh. Or I think it's Yingling Regular.
Well, where is Yingling produced?
Pennsylvania.
Which is in what region of the United States?
Is that still the Midwest? Like
I would consider PA. I'd call anywhere Big Ten country is the Midwest. So I'll give you that. It's not Yingling.
Okay.
All right.
So it's not Yingling. So I got it down to I think it's Boston or New Belgium.
I mean,
it's Boston Lager and New Belgium's Fat Tire. I don't think it's anything other than those.
And I think my thought is staying the same way. That sounds like a bottle. So, I mean, they both...
that sounds like a plastic bottle, like a 2-liter.
No, that's like, a bottle. I mean, both come in bottles.
Yeah, they both come in bottles. I think I'm going to go with my gut. You can yell at me if I'm wrong later. That's okay.
All right, I'm sticking with me, and I'm still saying Fat Tire. But you're gonna go. With
okay, you know what? We got 2 people here. It's fair. We get 2 guesses, one for each. One of us can be right if we're both wrong. Then it's
so
just
one
really
of you
bad.
Is correct.
Oh,
all right.
The winner is
Boston Lager.
Boston Lager.
I told you. He says I tasted it, and I'm like, because the Vienna-style lager is a lot more maltier than your standard lager, like a maltier style profile, not necessarily it's pumped with malts,
right?
But as opposed to a bitter. But, like, you still had that little bit bitter, that lager back end.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, when you said Fat Tire, I think just my mind was like, yeah, that might be, and I started to second-guess myself.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Boston Beer Co.'s, but, man, I haven't had Boston Lager in a long time. I couldn't even tell you. I don't even know where you get it anymore.
Anywhere?
I know, man.
So, all right, question number 4 kind of leads us back to our first segment. What do you see as the biggest faux pas that occurs at your beer festivals?
Faux pas.
Yeah, like...
Like showing up without a jacket at the Winterfest.
Yeah, or just like, no, you don't do that. Or just, you can tell someone's a rookie at a beer fest when they do this.
Show up at, you know, a summer beer fest in long khaki jeans and a long sleeve shirt.
Was that, did that hurt?
I was going to say, I didn't see.
I saw a couple of those that were a bit well overdressed for how humid it was yesterday.
Why?
I don't know. I guess he just wanted to stay stylish.
I've overdressed on really like sunny days to like get out of the sun. Like I've worn hoodies and stuff to get like, so I'm just not getting the sun beat on me. And while it might be a little warm, it's like, it's not hot. Like there's a difference, especially for someone with the haircut that I have.
Natural cut.
Like natural cut fries. This is a natural cut hair.
Sure. Okay.
That's fair. That's true.
I think the biggest faux pas is not utilizing. Well, one, the biggest mistake is not utilizing the water that's there.
Exactly.
I think though the biggest faux pas, and I think it's something that we all learned, is that we need to make sure that not only are we participating with all the rules, like giving tokens for each beer, but not like holding up the line, like people who will stand in line, start asking you questions, and then not letting the people behind you get beer, and you're standing there like trying not to be rude, but in the same sense,
the brewer biographer, if you will, the guy that asks a million questions to the brewer. And
yeah, like you can the brewers are usually available to answer the questions on the side. But, like, people were asking us questions when we were standing for Latitude 42, and except for the easy ones, where are you located? Is Party at the Moon Tower a reference to Fast Times? Like, all these other questions, like, what's your favorite? I'm like, I don't have a favorite at this time. Like, I'm just a volunteer.
I'm too drunk to taste this beer.
Yeah, the kind you drink, that's for sure. So yeah, the brewery biographer is definitely the one you're thinking of.
And then last question, I kind of put this out on our social media earlier this week. You know, documentaries are really big right now. OJ with Detroit Riots. If there was like a 30 for 30 style documentary on anything in the beer industry, what would you want to see?
I would love to see the book Bitter Brew, which is about the Bush family, turned into a movie or a documentary.
That would be pretty damn interesting.
Because going through not only pre, during, and post-prohibition, the story of the Bush family, going all the way to Augustus Bush the IV, I think we're on, you know, with this helicopter DUI or... you know, that kind of thing would get me because I think it has a lot of ebbs, flows, ups and downs. And especially in the more current market in regards to, you know, even the marketing, you know, with the whole, why did you go with this marketing? Why'd you get rid of the Clydesdales? Why'd you get rid of the dog or whatever else people want to bitch about, for absolutely no reason to bitch about. But yeah, the Bush family, I would love, to see obviously the Augustus Bush family, not the G-dubs.
Right. I love to see the buyouts. Just like all the ones that start off craft and suddenly, you know, they decide to sell to ABI. And just a...
Well, maybe a series called Life After Craft. And it follows breweries right. Like Lagunitas, Goose Island, and their story post being a craft brewery.
Right.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the one for me is people who... I would say people who were approached by ABI to sell and then those who didn't as well. Like, you know, people who were offered a check and those that said, yep, here you go, here are the keys. Mm-hmm. And then the other side of people who had the check, said no, and then where they are now versus, you know, the private island owning people that...
Well, I think anything you do in that type of sense is going to look like macro propaganda.
Yeah, it's possible, yeah. But I think at the same rate, it's those who stay true. You know, that used to be one of their slogans: "Stay true to yours." You know, I don't know. I think there's just so many different. Like, imagine if there was a 30 for 30 on just like how someone came up with the, you know, New England IPA or whatever. You know, how everybody then in like a week had this beer because it had hit in one location and now everybody has to have their own.
Like the Midwest craze of New England IPAs. Because I mean, even the West Coast. Like I have a buddy that lived in Oregon for a bit, just moved back to Michigan, and he was saying that like it was starting to get huge out there too in regards to the amount of New England IPAs, and that's challenging because there's so many West Coast IPAs out there.
Well, what about like life and times, like a day in the life of a BJCP judge, like from waking up in the morning in your hotel to going down to just start drinking at like 8 a.m.
Well, at that point, it's almost like, you know, doing it on one of the biggest festivals in the country, and that's GABF.
Yeah.
Like a documentary about GABF.
Yeah, like right? Like when Nick the Brewer was in here who said, you know, his owner Mark was watching it, and they had this little-known beer, and then all of a sudden it's being called by everybody in the world saying, you just won a gold medal, like, you know, your breakout beer or whatnot like that, something that, you know.
Well, it'd be curious to also see, like, you know, the brewers who may have been big that never had their breakout beer. Or, you know, you got Perrin, who makes a decent amount of beers, but they really don't have any. I don't think they have any maybe gold medal winning beers and like the major, major competitions. So that might be something to think about, too, is like always the bridesmaid
right
type of brewery. Like this person is always, you know, and, you know, it maybe going through like the story of, you know, Jim Koch in regards to Boston Beer Co. Because you have all these people and how Boston Beer Co. is still this huge thing. But literally the community has left him behind. Like he's in his own world, and whether it's self-appointed his own world or anything like that, he's basically separate from the rest of the craft community. People don't consider Boston Beer Co. craft anymore.
Right. No, they don't.
You know,
they didn't even sell it to San Miguel.
I'm sorry?
They didn't even sell it to San Miguel either.
Well, they don't need to, though. They're publicly traded.
Yeah.
Joking.
Yeah, we didn't mention Founders, though. We mentioned Perrin, right. Who's yeah. sold out to the hedge fund that owns Cigar City and Oscar Blues.
And Founders would be kind of interesting, too, just to kind of see that whole story of, you know, them being, I mean, and actually kind of the same way as, in a way, of Old Nation, where both of them were, you know, they were breweries, and they wanted to start with their styles, and it wasn't cutting it, and they were, you know, on the brink. I mean, Founders was on the brink of filing for bankruptcy, and then they just said, you know what, the hell with this. We're just going to make whatever we want.
If we want to even call out, like, you know, if we started, like, our own documentary, I would directly go right to New Holland. Because the writing's on the wall for when they get bought out.
But what do you think about like a 30 for 30 called C&D? Yeah, like how everybody has the same names or similar names, and they're getting all these C&Ds, and it's really what's kind of,
we'll call it what's in a name.
Yeah, but yeah. It's at the same rate. It's ironically what's propping up some beers is you never heard of them until that you heard this giant company sued them for some mundane reason.
You turn the beer world into Real Housewives.
Or we call it, you mean witch's
bickering.
You mean magic hat?
Well, no. We talk about it, and I'm going to do my best to keep this short and sweet because I've talked about it ad nauseum. But in the end, like, the whole cease and desist thing is proof in regards to why we do this show, because beer is a business,
mm-hmm.
and they don't do C&Ds for absolutely no, well, some of them might, but they don't do cease and desist for absolutely no reasons. They do it because they're protecting their business, whether it's a good reason or not to quote unquote protect their business. Sam Caligioni.
So if you're listening to this right now, maybe we'll just cut it different. But if there's a 30 for 30 or a documentary series you'd like to see on anything in the craft industry, let's put it out. Let's see what's out there. And, you know, maybe somebody who just isn't doing anything and has some money, they'll want to invest some time in the beer world. Yeah. But I think
I was going to say there's not too many beer documents. You got Beer Wars, which was from the former she was from Mike's Heart, I think, is where she worked. So like she knew everyone, but like she was trying to sell her Drew Carey beer.
Buzz beer.
Yeah, the coffee or caffeinated beer that she had that she was trying to promote. But really it was just it was such an interesting documentary. I can't even remember the last time I watched it. It was years ago because it was on like Netflix or something. Back when I had like a Netflix DVD subscription.
What about like I know there's a Netflix documentary called Bigger, Faster, Stronger about athletes going into steroids to get better. What if it's like a bigger, darker, harsher, where it's just how everyone's focused on barrel-aged, high ABV alcohol beers.
That's fair. That's a good name
and
for it.
And then how everybody's
trying to that documentary was, I remember watching it, and I remember there was a guy who had gotten off of the steroids and was still trying to compete in powerlifting competitions, and everybody's like, he's never going to win anything.
I remember, it always makes me think of Sean Astin from 51st Ace.
I don't think I've ever seen that.
Okay, it's Drew Barrymore and Adam Sandler, one of their terrible
movies. Oh, yeah, I did see it. I just don't remember Sean Astin.
He was the bodybuilder brother who
got
busted.
Yes, now I remember.
It's like this.
Now, I'm trying to, because obviously Sean Astin, I always think Goonies.
Oh, I always actually think Rudy.
I guess that's fair, too.
Or Samwise Gamgee.
Yeah, I think Goonies, easily.
I guess you guys are a little bit my senior, so maybe that's... I don't think I've ever seen Goonies front to back.
What? First of all, how old are you?
I'll be 31.
Yeah, I'm 31. Like as of a week and a half ago.
Oh, okay, that's right. We did celebrate your birthday.
You made a post on Facebook. I'm like, there's that. There's my mom liking the photo. That's the one crazy thing about this is that, you know, my family, big Italians, not really the biggest of drinkers, but now they're all like understanding craft beer more. Like my aunt's asking me to mule back Yingling for her when I'm in Ohio. I'm like, and she's like, you got to be cans because we got to go on the boat. I'm like, all right. So I have like a case of Yingling. I went to Meijer and they wouldn't only let me buy one case of beer.
What?
They wouldn't let me buy anymore.
In Ohio.
I was right on Alexandria, whatever the first exit into Ohio is, where that Meijer is. There's the Meijer and the Pilot. Great stop. If you're ever taking like a long trip down to like Cincinnati or going down 75, that first exit, there's a Meijer as well as a Pilot gas station. Perfect place to stop, reset, realize you're in Ohio, so to slow down.
Right.
But yeah, that I went there, I grabbed two cases, and they said, sorry, we can only sell you one. And I'm like,
was it a Sunday maybe?
No, it was Monday. It was my birthday, actually. It was July 10th.
Why would I don't get
I don't think Ohio has any.
Is it a blue law or are they not?
No, I've never had issues bringing booze back from there before. It was the weirdest thing in the world.
Like business?
I mean, I just said, hell with it. I'll just keep driving a little bit further and go down to Corks.
Well, I was doing it on the way up.
Okay.
So it was that I had already driven down to Cincinnati that morning to go to work. Got canceled an hour and a half after I got on
there.
Right. And I was driving home. And I'm like, I ain't making another stop.
Jeez, and you were practically right at the party source, too. That shit. Yeah. I would have sold you everything.
They would have sold you, given you the keys for like $12.99.
So that is pretty much, we got the five questions. We talked a little bit.
Yeah, just try to get more like conversations.
I think your mic just cut out because you keep hitting the things. So I'm going to turn you off on three because it's a little loud. Put you on two.
That's better.
Two. There we go. Try it again.
I can't hear you in my headphones.
It's because you're not wearing any headphones.
You dropped the beat.
I need more bass.
I can hear my snare.
I need more snare. So that's going to do it for us here at Better on Draft. Don't forget to like us on Facebook. Please go to iTunes. Leave us a review, a rating, 5 stars or more if you can. Definitely check us out. Twitter, Untapped, Better on Draft Podcast. Instagram, you can see some of the photos from the beer festival. We want to thank, obviously, the Michigan Brewers Guild for the hospitality while we were there. Latitude 42 for helping us get in as much as we did pour for you and work for you, so we earned our spot in there. Nonetheless, thank you for the Brewers Guild giving us media passes, as well as a big ups to our sponsors, North Center Brewing over on North Center Road in Northville, Michigan, Brown Iron Brew House in Washington Township, and Zatuna Liquor over in Rochester Hills. And don't forget, we also are going to be giving away $2,000 in scholarship money. We actually saw American Harvest over at the Beer Festival. Yeah. They had a decent amount of beers. Their lychee blonde was really good. Big shout out, hopefully, to Watermark, as this will probably be the last time I mention it. But thank you for letting me relive my childhood with the Surf Ninjas referenced beer, Quan Su. Did you ever watch Surf Ninjas as a kid?
Surf Ninjas, no. Three Ninjas, yes.
Three Ninjas, yes. Surf Ninjas came out, and I had Ernie Reyes Jr., Rob Schneider, a young Rob Schneider, and...
Did they know that's what they were doing?
Leslie Nielsen. Did they know they were getting Rob Schneider?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. He
yes,
didn't have, like, some pseudonym back then, did he?
No. So
was this pre-SNL?
This probably would have been pre-SNL. It's probably been 92, 93.
I might have seen it. So, I just don't remember it. I block out as much Rob Schneider as I possibly can.
So what was funny was the guy, and I'm talking to him, because obviously he saw our post, because I mentioned it on the top 20 beers to try at the Brewers Guild, and he's like, Rob Schneider should have won an Oscar for that. And I'm like, yes, sir. It's one of those, like I probably would hate it now. But, like, growing up, like, did you ever watch Johnny Tsunami?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, Johnny or Brink?
Brink, yeah, yeah. I saw Brink as well.
All the Disney live-action TV movies.
Made for TV.
We can talk about, like, Rob's age movies, Casablanca. Remember that?
Oh, wow, yeah.
Was that Lawrence in the Arabia or something like that?
Oh, yeah, with a
Chariots of Fire
tool. Chariots of Fire.
Oh, goodness.
You know, to this day, people still think Sean Rogers.
Steamboat Willie.
Steamboat Willie, yes.
Or Steamboat Mickey, rather.
Hey.
So that's going to do it. We'll cut it a minute short so we're not just spewing random shit at the end.
And I was loving the birds when I grew up, all right?
That's going to do it for us here. Better on Draft. Again, check us out, betteronDraft.com. Check out our new blog series as well as our new podcast that we're going to be starting next month with Steven Johnson of Motor City Brew Tours called The Beer Tour Guy. And that's going to do it for us. No matter what you think of your beer, we think... it's better on draft. Have a good night.
Peace.